pay fair market value. Some part of the analysis is the cost benefit.
That's correct.
So I'd just like to track that issue going forward.
Understood.
Thank you.
I have a question, I think, for TriMet, and that is to respond to Councillor Cummings' concern about other uses of the current 35 line having to transfer. Is it proposed that the streetcar would replace the 35 through this section?
Commissioner, what's in the DEIS right now is a concept that would have the 35 basically interline with the 78, which is a route that heads out to the west side to goes through Tigard and Beaverton, and make that a single-seat ride instead of the single-seat ride into downtown Portland.
So she's correct that riders from Westland would have to transfer?
In that scenario, yes. That's obviously not a done deal, any more than the rest of this is, but that's what was analyzed, that's what was assumed. The idea being that there was a loss of a direct connection to downtown, and in replacement, basically, an increase in additional direct connections to the rest of the region. We looked at current ridership from the data that we have and identified that about 12% of current riders on Line 35 would have to transfer in that kind of scenario.
Here, can I ask one other question? This is to Paul. Paul, sometimes around transportation planning, we're accused of just kicking the can down the road and not making decisions. And here we have a hearing where people are saying, make a decision. But as I look at this, I just want to make sure I understand conceptually. What you're asking us to do is to make a decision, but on a very narrow question, which is the locally preferred alternative. And what you further have been told us is that in doing so, once we've resolved that question, you've told us that there will be a number of key decision points down the road which will go to the merits of this and will essentially be the go, no-go, and that by resolving the LPA question now, we can get in the queue to find out if this is actually eligible for funding and at what level. So in a sense, you're not asking us to call the question. You're simply asking us to advance the next phase of analysis. Is that in my
That's a very good character.
Way, the pro-
that's,
proper way?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other council discussion?
Patrick, could you talk about the concern raised by Pete Colt and Mark White regarding other streetcar lines that we want to do in Portland, for instance, the 82nd, 122nd Loop and the Foster Road and Lombard? How would this affect or not affect those in terms of staff time, potential of getting federal funding, et cetera?
I'd like to start, if I could, since I've highlighted getting streetcar out to East Portland in two consecutive State of the City speeches. In addition to the 25-year streetcar master plan, following that, we have spending resources, time, and attention, and it's exciting at the possibility of streetcars to East Portland, including a potential alignment out Foster. To ensure that would and could work, we've embarked on a number of studies, including redevelopment opportunities along that potential line, and whether or not the required density along the line for a streetcar to have the ridership and the trips not taken benefits, whether or not that's the kind of redevelopment that the neighborhood wants, or exactly what do they want. It's work that, and it is, in addition to connect the dots, it's related also to our request for information on grocery stores and a variety of other things. So it's very important, and I'll let you answer the compete question.
Okay, so just so I know, the question that I'm answering is about other potential streetcar lines. Does it compete with other? The region, as Alan mentioned earlier, the region has an ability and has a track record of carrying multiple projects and different levels of study at the same time. And I think that in this case, it's not different than that history of being able to do more than one thing at a time. The Foster Road question is a study that is just hasn't even gotten underway, but we're in the consultant selection process as part of a strategic investment study for the Foster and Lentz area. That's one thing that's underway. In addition, I will be coming back to City Council later this summer, if not early in the fall, with a report on the development capacity and that how that can be leveraged towards local match revenue for a variety of corridors across the city. That's an informational report for City Council that I'll be presenting, and that is for us to get a better picture of how these things actually frame up when you're thinking of applying for a Small Starts grant. So in other words, how would we come up with $75 million to build a streetcar on Foster or 122nd or Gateway or Sandy or what have you? So we have a couple different irons in the fire to help get to do the due diligence that we need to perform to see if we have the right development, the right zoning, the right funding capacity to make these projects successful. So we're just getting started on Foster. I don't think that this project competes or jeopardizes that study and learning more about that project and helping to develop that into where it needs to go.
PDC has completed a development opportunity study that feeds into the next phase.
And Mayor, you would... in great part responsible for getting the federal funding for the current streetcar projects that we're doing. What's your assessment of how often we can go to the federal government and say we want them to fund 50 or 60% of another streetcar line?
It has to do, well, one, we have a good track record with them. And that's, I think, a key part of the response. When we say we're going to have... we've done the due diligence, and we're going to have this kind of private sector investment as a result of a transit investment. When we say we're going to have this kind of ridership as a result of a transit investment, when we have a combination of local funding, they like to see LIDs and SDCs. When we've said we are committing ourselves to not just the inputs but actually the results, we're considered one of the better regions for that. So that's why it's important to me that to also answer your question. So, but there's the environment out there in terms of cuts and everything else. I mean, that's new, and it's part of the discussion. That's why, to follow up on Commissioner Fish's queries, we're not ready to make a decision on this project. I think it shows enough promise on the cost-benefit side to move it forward to the next level of analysis where we'll get a lot smarter than we are now. But I'm not ready to sign off on this project today. All right. Would you please call the vote?
Well, it's been a long day, and I want to begin by thanking our friends from Lake Oswego for spending half a day with us. We actually, surprisingly, don't have many hearings like this where we have so many people from another county coming and participating. And I want to thank everyone for being here. And I don't think there's a single person up here who believes that you are all pawns of a lobbyist or some conspiracy. We take everyone's testimony on its own merits. And we appreciate, frankly, the thoughtfulness of your testimony. Pardon me? The thoughtfulness of your testimony and the care with which it was put together. And I would like to say that every year I have the honor of being hosted at Lake Oswego High School for what is the most inspiring thing I do once a year, which is the regional competition called We the People, which is hosted at that school. And frankly, not only does it reaffirm my great faith in our future, because I get to meet all these young people from Lake Oswego and from Portland and other jurisdictions, but having spent some time in that high school, it made me doubly appreciate the investment Lake Oswego has made in its schools and has doubled my resolve to make sure that Portland is able to pass a capital bond so we can catch up. Anyway, thank you for your time and for your presence here. As the mayor has pointed out, and as our discussion has, I think, clarified, we have a very narrow question before us today, and that is to pick a locally preferred alternative. And in a sense, what Metro is asking us to do is to date, but they have said we're not ready to get married. And I have a lot of questions, and this hearing has brought out a lot of questions, and I think that What people sometimes forget in the zero-sum game of did you win or you lose at each juncture is that at each hearing like this, we're building a record. We're educating the public about an issue. We're putting down markers. And that's a very fluid process. So I think this hearing has served a very valuable purpose. Based on everything that I've read, which includes a ton of emails, briefings from people on all sides, the testimony today, I support the proposed locally preferred alternative of light rail. And I am going to vote aye.
Streetcar.
But I want to be very clear about what questions I will have going forward. The reason I'm supporting this is that this proposal, at least at this stage, satisfies my core values. It would allow us to enhance our multimodal transportation system. It continues progress in thinking regionally. And frankly, my blood pressure goes up when people come here and tell us we should be an island unto ourselves. The future of our region is all of us linking arms. There is no Portland-only approach that's going to be as successful going forward. And I believe passionately in the regional approach, in housing, in natural areas and parks, which is why I support Intertwine, in transportation. That is the wave of the future, and that includes regional cost sharing. And finally, equity. And I appreciated the young woman who testified on the question of equity. If that was your first time testifying, you did a great job, even if I may disagree with some of your conclusions. But I will tell you that I had a phone call this week from former Governor Barbara Roberts, and I don't know whether to call her governor or commissioner or counselor. She's held every job, but she called to share her perspective on this project, and she specifically focused on equity. And her point was that low-wage workers, older adults, the disabled, and others deserve to have the same transportation, robust transportation choices as all other folks in our community. And for that and other reasons, she thought this project, in fact, met a number of equity goals that she held dear. So, because it satisfies my basic values, I'm going to vote aye, but I do want to just reiterate the questions that I'll have going forward. Obviously, the first and foremost is cost, and we've had commitments made through this process that no general fund dollars and no urban renewal money will be pledged to this project, but we also have learned that there's some gray area about potential costs, and so we will be looking to scrub those numbers as they come forward. And that, to me, will be a key trigger. Number two is impact on the environment. And we've had a lot of very thoughtful testimony on that. I appreciate the work that Audubon and others have done. And, you know, our basic approach at the city is avoid and mitigate if necessary. Those could have significant cost factors, and I'm going to want to know much more about that. And finally, housing. While I wear the hat as the housing commissioner, I'm also a commissioner elected citywide, so I don't have the luxury of just being parochial around issues. But here, I do want to highlight a housing opportunity. If we do end up going forward on this, I hope that we are all sincere in looking at the opportunities to take our regional housing work and our needs assessment and to incorporate them into the decisions we make going forward. Lake Oswego has low-wage workers who are priced out of the market. They have people experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness. They have families that can't find affordable housing. That is, Lake Oswego is like every other community in our region. They have human beings struggling in this economy with what is, for many people, the hardest nut these days, which is finding housing which is affordable. We must think regionally about sharing the load. We must be thinking strategically about how we collaborate. We've got to get away from a zero-sum game. The burden needs to be shared by a whole region. And if we end up going forward with this, I pledge as the housing commissioner to work with our friends in Lake Oswego to make sure that we really do consider housing choices for all. Mayor Adams, thank you to you and to your team. That was as good a presentation as we've had on any issue. And I definitely appreciate the interactive, the follow-up. So for all the reasons I've laid out and based on the amendments that we've already adopted, I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, to me, public transit is a key piece of our region's livability, and I'm proud of the transit system currently in place, as well as the many transit projects in construction, design, and planning. Streetcars have proven to be catalysts for residential and commercial development, as well as contributing to our goals of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So I have exported the expansion of Portland's streetcar system on numerous occasions and will continue to do so when I feel it's the best option moving forward. I do believe, although the question reported to us today is narrow, and it is a narrow one, is a streetcar the preferred alternative? I believe that is so. But I do so with many, many questions about the cost. I mean, $500 million is probably more than we have spent on every streetcar project combined in the city of Portland. And, you know, nobody has yet explained to me why it's so expensive. And perhaps I'm guilty because I didn't ask that question at the outset, but it's very expensive and it's very fragile. It depends on a right-of-way analysis valuation that goes our way. It depends on a federal government decision of either to partially fund this or to partially fund it at 60%. So there's a lot of variables that can change over time, and I am making it very clear today my support for this locally preferred alternative is by no means should be construed as support for this project at any cost. And I know that streetcar support is inelastic. You talk about streetcar, you can fill the room here with people that will say, and they'll say it at each point of the road, we got to do streetcar, we got to do streetcar, we got to do streetcar. Well, I also know we need to pave roads, we need to build bikeways, we need to make our streets safer for pedestrians. So it's a cost trade-off, and I'm not willing to put on the blinders and say streetcar at any cost. And that's why I put forward an amendment, and I thank Mayor Adams for his appendix that really spells out we need more information before we actually say this is a go or no-go decision. So for me, it's simply saying it's the preferred alternative. I am not giving my support to the project at this point until I get those questions, until we take another vote, at least in spring of 2013. And I don't care how much money we've spent by then and how much, you know, it's manifest destiny at that point. I am not a supporter until all those questions are answered. And I've got to say, those questions include the Highway 43 transfer, associated ratepayer cost of assuming stormwater management for Highway 43. It does include the environmental mitigation cost. And it does include TriMet's being on board. You know, I think at best, you know, with all due respect to TriMet, that was not a very robust answer about we're on board with the operating cost. And, you know, saying we don't do 10-year forecasts, well, I need something firmer from the TriMet board before I can say it's a TriMet and it's a regional project. I don't think the city of Lake Oswego or the city of Portland should be paying operating costs of upwards of $3.8 million a year. That's more than we can bear, and that's money I don't think we can pay out of our transportation funds. That's probably general fund money. So I'm giving my aye today, but I think I'm also saying, and I appreciate Mayor Adams with your Appendix C and this whole council's consideration. So aye.
Leonard?
Well, I'm not sure longevity in public office is a good thing or a bad thing. I'll let others decide that, but I have been serving long enough to have not had this be the first hearing nor at this venue on light rail alternative forms of transportation. But before I entered elective office in 1993, I remember vividly the debate in this community surrounding the original light rail line, the Blue Rhine line that opened in 1986. And some of the emotion you heard here today was exponentially louder at that time, predicting with no question about it the absolute failure of that investment in light rail that would go from Gresham out to Hillsborough. Of course, our experience in the 25 years since that line has opened has been anything but what the detractors predicted. After I entered the Oregon State Senate in 1993, we had special sessions surrounding light rail because of voter rejection of projects that were alluded to here earlier by the former mayor of Lake Oswego that also included the recall of the mayor of Milwaukee and members of the Milwaukee City Council. So that you're having a robust debate would not be unusual on this topic, but rather it would be quite unusual if it did not continue. I will add, however, that of all the arguments that I've heard, I did hear a unique one here today as an alternative, and that is the ferry system. So thank you, Pete, for catching my attention with a new aspect of this debate. But I think the thing that hasn't been spoken to here, which has driven this discussion for over 30 years and becomes more accentuated as we progress forward, not just as a community or a state or a country, but as a world, is this the defiance of petroleum to conform to our normal ways of thinking in terms of economic models. Gasoline is the only product that I'm aware of that defies the most basic supply and demand model that I was taught in economics here at Portland State. Only gasoline can have a lesser demand and then skyrocket in price. There are a number of international reasons for that to occur that I won't speak to, other than to say if we all haven't gotten to the point now where we understand that building a future that depends even remotely on the use of petroleum products is a foolhardy way to give our world to our children and grandchildren. And I, for one, want to remember that at every opportunity I have to divorce ourselves as much as possible from petroleum-based products, particularly gasoline, which leads me then to the issue at hand, the locally preferred option. As has been made clear, this is one step in many steps that we will take before actually deciding to build a Lake Oswego streetcar line. But in my view, I have a little more flexibility than some of my colleagues do about what some of the variables might be in the future, because I think we need to, at all costs, understand that we have to develop infrastructure, transportation projects, housing projects, other projects for the future that do not rely on gasoline for our citizens either to commute or to work or to recreate. This is one of those steps that we take. As I said, it is consistent with the pain that I have observed and been involved with in each of these light rail projects as they've occurred over the years I've been involved in public life. I do not expect new future light rail projects or streetcar projects to have any less pain. Maybe it's a testament to our leadership here in Oregon that notwithstanding the pain, they have the vision to see that we need to step forward, and maybe in other states it isn't quite so clear. I do think that's a large factor, because I've known that the immediate players involved in each of these decisions leading up till now, including my friend Mayor Adams. So I appreciate the work that's been done. I've listened diligently to all sides, but have heard nothing yet that makes me reconsider where we find ourselves in this place at this time in moving forward our community. Aye.
Fritz? Well, I was opposed to the streetcar 10 years ago when it started, and even 3 years ago before I got into office. Since then, I have learned a lot about the capacity of the streetcar as a development engine and as a job creation project. I have been very grateful in sitting in traffic trying to get from here to the Metro building for impact meetings, traffic which is exacerbated by the congestion on MLK and elsewhere on the Inner East Side. I'm very glad that we have those projects going. They have provided good jobs during the recession, and I believe they are going to stimulate developments all the way along the streetcar line. And so I have supported the funding of those systems. I certainly appreciate the great work that staff has done, particularly Patrick Sweeney and Paul Smith and Catherine Chiarlo, and indeed Mayor Adams, who's been very gracious in briefing me on this ongoing. I appreciate the regional partnership with Mayor Hoffman. I think if I were on the Lake Oswego Council, I would probably have voted aye on this. I think it's a great deal for Lake Oswego, and I think it's going to, if it does go to downtown Lake Oswego, it will stimulate the kinds of wonderful development that we have seen along the streetcar line here in Portland and be an asset to all of Lake Oswego. But I'm not on the City of Lake Oswego Council, and I don't find some of the arguments compelling. I don't believe that there's sufficient development capacity in John's Landing to pay for this. We haven't yet tried to fund a streetcar line that has no part in a urban renewal district. And I think that the challenges, particularly with John's Landing and McAdam, is that it's congested. And we know that the congestion is not going to be all that much relieved by the streetcar line should it go in. And not everybody who is going to be wanting to get to John's Landing lives along the alignment of the streetcar, lives along the Willamette Shore. There's a lot of folks who live to the west in southwest Portland who have basically Taylor's Ferry to get to McAdam and then McAdam to get to all of the facilities in John's Landing. So I don't know that we have development capacity currently for the current zoning, nor do we have the information yet on the future zoning. Mayor Adams is very correct in saying that if this was a Portland-led project, we would have done things in a slightly different order, and we would have more certainty about the complete development package at this point, but we don't. And so I have to vote on the elements that I have. I have to say that this is a huge jigsaw puzzle, and if there's any region in the country that could make this work, it's going to be Portland and our regional partners. We have shown that we can manage innovative projects and get them funded and that they have worked out really well. So that gives me confidence, obviously, that this is going to move forward. I think that the locally preferred alternative should be bus. And we have heard about the impact on bus riders, some of which has only just skimmed the surface. The concept that people from West Lynn would have to transfer to the streetcar, then transfer at the other end to get to wherever they currently get to directly downtown doesn't seem to be feasible to me. And I don't support some of the numbers that I've seen for the bus. I particularly appreciate Opal's testimony in that regard as far as the whole system. The streetcar, in some ways, is the show horse of our public transportation system. The buses are the workhorse, and we have had too many cuts in our bus system, and we have to recognize that the Line 78 was mentioned. I took that once to get crosstown. I will never take it ever again. It took me a very, very long time to get from A to B. It probably would have been quicker to have gone downtown and out again than it would have been to take that particular bus. But I'm glad it's there because some people need to conduct along the way and don't have the capacity to be able to go downtown to get to where they're going. We have limited resources of time, staff, and money, and indeed of citizen volunteer time. And some of the money, even the money moving forward in the Transportation General Fund budget, the $335,000, could be used for other basic services like street lighting and sidewalks. It is a drop in the bucket, but we need to be pegging away at those basic services, I believe. So I appreciate all the work that's done and Mayor Adams' continued leadership on this. I'm confident that with the amendments that were adopted, there will be the scrutiny that I'm looking for moving forward, but regretfully, I can't support the locally preferred alternative. No.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank the team, the staff team that's been working very hard on this. Doug and Patrick and Paul and Catherine and Tom and our folks at TriMet. I do support moving to the next level of due diligence. This is a project that has had a 23-year-old gestation period. It's not ready to, I'm not ready to support it, but I am ready to support it for the next level of due diligence. And I think that many of the issues and questions that have been raised are spot on. I do think it's important, though, for staff, I'd ask you to put together whether it's an FAQ or a Q&A, like any project where the analysis starts out in one place of accuracy and ends in another. I think it's important to have the latest information. For example, I've heard from the good counselor the $25 million amount, and you know, if that's taking it to a certain point, you know, we're going to be spending $325,000 in the next year on it, and other governments will be matching that. So I just want I want really clear information, very factual information, where possible. I want to thank the Lake Oswego City Council, all the members, for the discussion of this issue, consideration of this issue. I vote aye. Resolution is approved. We're in recess till 2 o'clock.
You're so generous.
I know.